Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include: nearly 20 years of exposing the persecution offers Hong Kong encouragement. Your determination shows us there's hope. Sir Geoffrey Nice, QC, forced organ harvesting by the CCP is a threat to mankind. Singapore, new practitioners talk about their positive changes after attending 9-day Falun Dafa workshop. Canadian MPs, the Chinese Communist Party has committed genocide. New Zealand, people condemn the CCP and encourage practitioners during activities in Auckland. And the wind blew good destiny to her feet. Now for the stories.
Nearly 20 years of exposing the persecution offers Hong Kong encouragement. Your determination shows us there's hope. The Hong Kong National Security Law, passed by the Chinese Communist Party in June 2020, is viewed as a threat to human rights in the region, leaving many residents worried about their future. But this is not the first time human rights have been attacked since Hong Kong was returned to China in 1997. In 2002, several Falun Gong practitioners were arrested when they peacefully protested the persecution outside the Liaison Office of the Central People's Government in the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region. Practitioners clarified the facts and appealed the public obstruction charge to the court of the final appeal. In the end, the practitioners were acquitted. This case is often referred to as an example of the human rights situation in Hong Kong. It was also listed in the core curriculum of law at Hong Kong University. Yang Meiwan, one of the defendants in the case, is a Hong Kong resident who has been distributing materials and telling people about the persecution for over 20 years. Her experience is a reflection of the practitioner's efforts to protect their faith despite pressure from a totalitarian regime. After 3 years of hard work, the Court of Final Appeal revoked the initial verdict and declared the practitioners innocent. The judgment also directed pedestrians to accommodate protesters and officials to respect basic laws and human rights laws. This case garnered broad public attention. Hong Kong democracy activist Tsetso Wah praised Falun Gong for their efforts and success in defending freedom for Hong Kong residents. He said the case highlighted the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance that the practitioners embraced. Yang is thankful for the strength practicing Falun Gong gives her. In the beginning, she was afraid, worrying that future protests would be banned if they lost this lawsuit. We know the Constitution is the highest authority. I often remind myself to do well. If every one of us thinks this way, our efforts will join together and bring light and hope for the future and drive away the darkness, she said. She said the biggest challenge is helping people understand what Falun Gong is and how it has benefited its practitioners, she added. As a Falun Gong practitioner, I have learned to be a good person, a better person. That means I need to act according to my conscience. We own our futures, and from our hearts, we have to do what is right. Hong Kong is a small place with a large population. Falun Gong practitioners come from all walks of life. Seeing practitioners continuing to do the exercises and putting up banners exposing the persecution, many passers-by were also moved. One person said, "Your determination gives us assurance and a sense of security. There's hope for society after all."
Sir Geoffrey Nice, QC. Forced organ harvesting by the CCP is a threat to mankind. During a forum on February 24th, Sir Geoffrey Nice, QC, from the China Tribunal, reviewed the tribunal's history and operation, as well as its verdict on the Chinese Communist Party's forced organ harvesting in China. He said the crime of organ harvesting is threatening mankind, and we have the responsibility of correcting it. The forum was part of a conference on the CCP's forced organ harvesting organized by the International Coalition to End Transplant Abuse in China. The International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, adopted by the United Nations General Assembly in 1966, stated, "Every human being has the inherent right to life. This right shall be protected by law. No one shall be arbitrarily deprived of his life," explained the coalition on its website about the motivation for the conference. However, the CCP has been systematically executing people on demand for the last two decades to provide organs for transplantation. For the victims, which include political prisoners, Falun Gong practitioners, and Uyghurs, it is not just the harvesting of their organs, it is also a harvesting of their life. For the rest of us, it robs us of our humanity and forever poisons our capacity of being human, continued the International Coalition to End Transplant Abuse in China. Sir Nice said the conclusion reflected certainty that forced organ harvesting, a crime against humanity, and genocide do exist in China, as reported in the judgment. The forced organ harvesting does not concern just a few cases, but is a large-scale, state-sanctioned crime committed by the CCP against innocent people. Left unattended, this crime could spread, given today's globalization, and endanger all of mankind. When the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was adopted by the United Nations in 1948, it provided a universal framework for basic rights and fundamental freedoms. Sir Nice said, "Because it is called universal rights, it also means universal responsibilities. That is, it is an obligation for all governments and all people. Therefore, when the rights of a group of people are violated, it is related to all of us. We all have the responsibility to correct that."
Singapore. New practitioners talk about their positive changes after attending 9-day Falun Dafa workshop. The Falun Dafa Association in Singapore held a Chinese and English 9-day lecture workshop on February 27th through March 7th, 2021. On the last day, new practitioners talked about the positive changes they noticed after learning the practice. Mr. Yang came with his wife, older sister, and niece after a friend recommended the workshop to him. He was 12 years old when the Chinese Communist Party launched the persecution of Falun Dafa. He listened to the CCP's propaganda and was confused. After the pandemic hit, he wanted to improve his health. He studied the teachings of Falun Dafa and gradually understood what Falun Dafa is. He said, "My mind calmed down and my thoughts were empty as I listened to Master Lee talk. I felt comfortable and relaxed, especially after doing the meditation exercise." Mr. Yang's sister heard about Falun Dafa in 1996 because her mother was a practitioner. She said, "My mother remained a steadfast practitioner despite years of persecution. When she lived in China, the police often came to their home because her mother refused to give up Falun Dafa. She once blamed her mother for the harassment and the family's troubles. Now she knows her mother did the right thing. After she came to Singapore, she has access to information that she didn't have in China. She noticed many Falun Dafa practitioners doing the exercises in the parks and thought, Falun Dafa is embraced around the world. Why not in China?" At that moment, she went from believing the CCP to awakening to the truth. She said, "I will conduct myself following Master's teachings from now on." Mr. Yang's 13-year-old niece enjoyed the exercises, especially the meditation. She said that as soon as she closed her eyes, her mind became tranquil. Afterwards, she felt rejuvenated. During the pandemic last year, Janice read about Falun Dafa online. She later found a group of practitioners to do the exercise with on the internet and registered for the 9-day workshop. She said, "The teachings inspired me so much. I understand many things that I hadn't before. Now I believe I can follow Master's teachings and carry myself based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance."
Canadian MPs, the Chinese Communist Party has committed genocide. Over 40 elected officials from various countries recently attended a forum hosted by the International Coalition to End Transplant Abuse in China on February 24th. With participants from 117 agencies and organizations, the event focused on forced organ harvesting by the Chinese Communist Party. Two Canadian members of Parliament, Mary Lou McFedrin and Samir Zuberi, spoke at the forum. They emphasized that forced organ harvesting by the CCP is genocide, with Falun Gong practitioners as the main victims. They both called on the international community to take action to stop the atrocity. Mary Lou McFedrin, senator for Manitoba, is also a lawyer and human rights advocate. She said the Canadian House of Commons unanimously passed a motion on February 22nd that designated the suppression of Uyghurs in Xinjiang, China, and some other minority groups as genocide. She said at the forum that she would also like to include Falun Gong practitioners in the list of victims, since the persecution against them also qualifies as genocide. MP Samir Zuberi said that the forced organ harvesting is a nationwide policy from the CCP and that it does not represent the Chinese people. He emphasized that the Canadian government needs to address such a threat. Canada's House of Commons passed a resolution in February designating the CCP's mistreatment of Uyghurs in Xinjiang as genocide. 1 month earlier, then U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo declared that the CCP had committed genocide and crimes against humanity by suppressing minority groups such as Uyghurs. Zuberi hopes other countries will follow suit, since it is important for the international community to end the serious crime of organ harvesting. It is beyond partisanship. In Canada, for example, the motion mentioned above passed unanimously with a vote of 266-0. The CCP has suppressed its people in many ways, including forced labor, concentration camps, forced sterilization, forced abortions, and organ harvesting. The horror is beyond imagination. While other governments could acknowledge the existence of forced organ harvesting, Zuberi said the conference attendees could also share the information with others on social media. "The crime has been identified, and it still continues," he added. "We must do the right thing and stop the tragedy."
New Zealand. People condemn the CCP and encourage practitioners during activities in Auckland. Falun Dafa practitioners held a series of activities, including signature collection and a car parade, in South Auckland, New Zealand, on Saturday, March 13th. Many people showed great support for the practitioners and condemned the CCP's crimes against humanity, especially harvesting organs from living practitioners. Ms. Tasha Simmons, a government employee, said that she had heard about the CCP's human rights violations in Hong Kong because her grandfather was from Hong Kong. She often saw practitioners peacefully protesting the CCP's persecution in front of the Chinese consulate. Tasha said, "I like the idea of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. The traditional values of the Chinese people are priceless. Everyone comes to the world for a purpose. The Chinese government can't take away people's freedom of belief or persecute them for their belief." She believes that the CCP will be punished for its murders and organ harvesting. "No matter what color our skin is, all blood is red. We should be one body," Tasha said. Paul and his wife, Larnie, said they were Christians and immigrants from the Samoan Islands. Larney condemned the CCP's dictatorship for its killing and robbing throughout history. The Chinese Communist Party doesn't believe in God, so it dares to persecute all religious groups. It is doing Satan's work. Paul and Larney encouraged the practitioners' activities and invited practitioners to collect signatures at their church gathering. They also took some blank signature forms and said they would help collect signatures. Tom, an engineer, said that the CCP's suppression of Uyghurs and Falun Dafa practitioners were crimes trampling on human rights and freedom of belief. He added, "If a country doesn't have democracy, the people won't have freedom. It's a disaster. The CCP's massacre of students in 1989 was an example. The young people today should know what happened then. We have the responsibility to tell them. Look at the CCP's infiltration into Western society. This has become a global issue."
The wind blew Good Destiny to her feet. An older woman in China said that she had taken her grandson out to play with other kids one day, and the wind blew a flyer to her feet. She picked it up, wiped away some dirt, and saw the title, Good Destiny. "I liked these words, so I read the flyer while my grandson played with the other kids," she said. The woman said that her mother had died when she was young, and her stepmother had treated her badly. She later married a man nearly 20 years her senior when she was only 18, and he also treated her poorly. After her husband died, she worked very hard to bring up their children alone. All of her children were finally married, and her son had a newborn, so she moved in with his family to help take care of the infant. She was then diagnosed with breast cancer. She underwent surgery and chemotherapy. As time passed, her son and daughter-in-law had grown tired of taking care of her illness, and the family relationship had become tense. Feeling guilty about being sick and bringing trouble to her son's family, she kept the pain to herself and continued helping the young family with shopping, cooking, and taking care of the baby. She relied on painkillers to sleep at night and always woke up early. "My life was so miserable that I sometimes didn't even want to live any longer," she said. The woman in the flyer had a similar life to mine, so I was happy that she had a good destiny in the end. She put the flyer in her pocket. Then after supper, when the young couple were watching TV, she went to her bedroom and read the flyer again. She dozed off while reading it. Pain pulled her out of her slumber. The clock showed it was past midnight. Looking at the flyer in her hand, she remembered the story in it about a woman who had cancer and was about to die, but by reciting the verses, "Falun Dafa is good, and truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good," she regained her health and rebuilt her life. "I put the flyer on my pillow and sincerely repeated in my heart, 'Falun Dafa is good, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good,' and I fell asleep again," she said. The next thing she knew, her daughter-in-law came into her room and tried to rouse her. The young mother had pushed her several times to wake her up, and then handed her the baby. "What happened to you? You usually can't sleep because of the pain," her daughter-in-law asked. The old woman took the baby and said, "It's a miracle. It's really amazing." But the old woman dared not pursue learning Falun Gong. However, she kept saying the two verses before going to sleep. She quickly found that she was no longer in pain, so she was able to stop taking the painkillers. When it came time for her to have a medical exam before starting another round of chemotherapy, the doctor told her that all her lab results were good and she didn't need any more chemotherapy. She thought as she left the hospital, "All the stories in the flyer were true. I must learn Falun Gong." Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.